I believe it's providential that on this Labor Day weekend, we are studying the book of Nehemiah, where he has been summoned by God to go from Susa, the capital of Persia, back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls that have been destroyed years earlier by the armies of Nebuchadnezzar. His task was to go back and rebuild the walls. But there's much more to it than just the physical building, and that's what we're going to look at today. We see in the earlier part of this book that Israel had returned after the exile, and their conditions, their living conditions, were not good. We also see that God has a timetable. God has a timetable for when He punished His people for their disobedience and sent them into exile for 70 years. And after those 70 years, it was time for the next chapter of His plan of redemption to occur. And He raises up a Persian king by the name of Cyrus, who defeats the Babylonians and who sends the people, the Jewish exiles, back to their homeland. God looks over history and He determines when things happen. It's time to build. It's time to send the people back to build. Now, when He sent the Jews back home to Jerusalem, what did they go back to? They went back to devastation. The temple had been destroyed completely. They had no house of worship. Furthermore, they had no walls to protect the city. I've included in the bulletin today a map of Jerusalem, the walls that have been destroyed by the Babylonians, and these are the walls that Nehemiah was charged to rebuild. And chapter 3 of Nehemiah is an account of who it was that built the walls and their location. I'm charging you with a homework assignment to take chapter 3 and your map and draw the location so that you know who was working where. Now, the point of doing this, the point of the map, the point of chapter 3, in fact, the point of Ezra and Nehemiah, was not so much that they were building physical buildings, such as the temple or the walls around the city, although they were important. What was really taking place here was God was building a community of faith for His people. That's the key. And where we get this from is in studying Ezra, we see that Ezra came years after the temple was built. Zerubbabel was the one who built the temple with the people, with the exiles, the first two waves of exiles. And after that was built, Ezra came and led a spiritual reformation and revival. It's not just putting up a building and saying, look what we did. It's, why did you put up the temple? It's a place for the community of faith to worship. And you have to worship biblically according to the Word of God. And that's what we see in Ezra, where the leaders read the Scriptures, taught the Scriptures to the people, so that as they returned, they would worship biblically. We see the same thing in the latter chapters of Nehemiah. The walls built. But then what happens? What happens is there's a spiritual renewal, a reformation taking place again as the Word of God is proclaimed and taught to all the people, young and old alike. So the point I want to make here, the main idea is that Ezra and Nehemiah, when they talk about building, they're talking about building a community of faith for God's people. Now, I want to highlight that because so often in building programs, the physical is what gets all the attention. Square footage. How many classrooms? What's the size of the gym? Is there a cafeteria? Bah, bah, bah. Wait a minute. All of the facilities are built for one reason. That is to facilitate the biblical worship of God, the equipping of the saints to do evangelism, and the training of people to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And sometimes the work of the church gets pushed back because of the bricks and sticks. It can't be that way. Note the progression of God's building plan. Ezra comes before Nehemiah. The building of the house of God comes before the building of the walls. The main focus is on people worshiping God. That's critical in understanding building programs for churches today, and critical in understanding God's plan, His design for building programs in the Old Testament. It's not the physical building. It's the community of faith. The church comes before everything else. The place where we gather, the place where we worship, the place where we assemble to praise God, the place where teaching takes place, the place where the next generation is schooled in doctrine, the place where the leaders exercise church discipline, oversee the ordinances of baptism and communion. That's the focal point. And sometimes that gets pushed aside. Oh, we got this ministry. We got that ministry. We got this mission. We got that mission. All of that is good. And it's not either or, but it's both and. The church and the ministries, the church and the missions work together for one goal, to glorify the triune God. That's what we see here in Nehemiah. That's God's plan. Note the progression and keep that progression always in mind. We get excited about building a new house. Our children, Jen and Sarah and their husbands, they have relatively new houses they purchased in the last 5 years. And you can, let's take a tour of the house. This has to get done. That has to get done. And we rejoice in what God has provided for them. But I pulled them aside and said, remember, it's your responsibility to have Christ at the center of this building. This is a home that Christ lives in. So take the time, the energy, the money, whatever you have to, and focus on building the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, the spiritual nature of the children and of yourselves. So we're not just talking about building walls and church buildings. We're talking about building lives. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added unto you. Where a lot of things fail is when we don't put Christ at the center and we're doing all the peripheral things. We seek to do this, 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 and this. And the church is neglected, or our spiritual lives are neglected. And we have people running around like crazy doing all kinds of things. And at the same time, they're lost. They're lost. I can't wait for the summer to be over. We just ran and ran and ran, and we traveled here, we traveled that. It's great that school's starting because now we can get some normalcy back into our lives. Neglecting the Spirit has dangerous consequences. That's how Israel ended up in the position they were in. That's why God punished them. So the first point I want to make here and emphasize it and reemphasize it is we build a community of faith for God's people. And that's where God is worshiped, God is glorified, God is praised. Second point I want to make, and this refers to the map and to chapter 3. In fact, let me back up to chapter 2 and verse 20, where Nehemiah replies to Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. The God of heaven will make us prosper, and we, his servants, will arise and build. Note the pronouns, make us prosper, and we, his servants, will arise and build. What's he saying here? What he's saying here is, I'm not going to build this thing by myself. Ezra said the same thing. Zerubbabel said the same thing. Those who are God's people have to unite, have to come together, and we have to build the community of faith together. Not just sit back and say, gee, that's for that group to do. I hope they do a good job. And wait to see what they build. And then critique it. No. What Nehemiah and Ezra teach us is that we all have the responsibility of coming together and building the community of faith. When you look at your maps and you look at chapter 3, you see that people had responsibility to build a section of the wall. I haven't counted all the names and all the locations, but they were there on the walls day and night building their community of faith. That's how God works. There's a unity. There's a oneness. And what we see in chapter 3 is that there are people living in various districts from various tribes that are coming together next to each other, shoulder to shoulder, cleaning out rubble and rebuilding the walls. It's not just the tribe of Judah. It's others. It's not just the people that were displaced in Jerusalem, but the suburbs. Tekoa is between 9 and 12 miles separate away from Jerusalem. And these people came in and they built two sections of the wall. Let me ask you, where are you building the community of faith? Well, that's for the church to do. You are the church. Where are you building the kingdom of God? Where has God placed you? That's where you build. That's your neighborhood. Probably your family. That's where you start. I'm not going to build a house. No. You're building the body of Christ. And how do you do that? You pray for your neighbors. And you witness to your neighbors. And you do crazy things with your neighbors. 4th of July. Fireworks going off in our little development. All the neighbors coming out. The kids playing on the street. Everybody together. opportunities to talk about the Lord. The next 4th of July, we got it figured out. The grills are going out in the streets. People are bringing their foods. Ex-Marine got an arsenal of fireworks he's working on. And we're going to have a great time together. And that came as a result of Dr. Eck challenging us a couple of years ago to get together with the people in your neighborhood, fellowship with them, and pray for opportunities to share the gospel. It's not rocket science, and it's not that hard when you have a heart that wants to build the kingdom of God. And that's what happened in Ezra and Nehemiah. The reason why that building took place was the people had a heart to work. Do you have a heart to work for Jesus Christ? Do you have a heart to evangelize, to make disciples? Well, I don't have any time for that. I got this, and I got that, and I got this, and I got that. What does God want us to do? You see, the big issue in Ezra and Nehemiah is not so much the bricks and sticks. The big issue is, are we going to do what God has commanded us to do for Him? Anybody know about the Great Commission? How many? So who have you led to Christ lately? Who are you discipling? Well, wait a minute. That's what the Scripture teaches. Yeah, but what? Nehemiah goes around and he inspects the wall. Pastor Ben did an outstanding job in that sermon last week. I was listening to it on CD, and I don't need to rehash that. But the people had a mind to work. The people had a heart to work. God had done something there. And the people joined together and they worked. Are we joining together and uniting to work to build the kingdom of God? How do we answer that? We look around. How do we view building physical structures? And how do we build programs? And how do we build the external things of ministry here? Because that shows us what's in our heart about how we really want to build the kingdom of God. Are we more concerned about souls or square footage? See what I'm getting at? Ezra, Nehemiah, focused on the souls. Let us arise and rebuild. And the people, they're the ones that said that. But Nehemiah is the one that when he inspected the walls, he said, you see the trouble we are in. Does anybody think our nation's in trouble? Put it a different way. Does anybody think our nation is not in trouble? We're in trouble. We're in big trouble. And what's the hope? What's the way we address the trouble? The gospel is the only thing that will change hearts. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only thing that takes a heart filled with hate and violence and turns it into a heart of peace and love. Who is the key to save our nation? It's Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And who is the instrument of Christ that is ordained to be His ambassadors and go with the truth, the good news? It's us. And if we don't do it, who will? It's time for the church to stand up and do what the church has been called to do. Glorify Jesus Christ through the proclamation of the gospel. Worship Him biblically. Evangelize. Share the gospel and make disciples. It's now time. And if it's not time now, what are we waiting for? And when is the right time? The time is right now. You got all kind of protests. You got all kind of violence. You got all kind of destruction. And we're sitting around complaining. It's time for the church to be the church. It's time for us to build the body of Christ. Now we see in the text here, in spite of the united front, the unity of God's people, there is opposition. Christians must expect opposition when they attempt to do anything for God. The unholy three, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. Pastor was very great in describing these three individuals. I'm not quite so gracious. These are thug slum landlords. And what they're all about is keeping the people down, exploiting the people, oppressing the people. These poor souls that came back from exile, they got them in their districts and they are taxing the daylights out of them. They are just hammering away at these people, keeping them down. They don't want Nehemiah and they don't want God coming in, messing up their little culture, their little swamp in building the kingdom of God. So they resist. And as Christians, we can expect that any time we attempt to do anything for the Lord, build schools, build sanctuary, build lives for Christ, we're going to face opposition and resistance. We're going to face it from without, and we're going to face it from within. But don't let that opposition discourage you. Not for one minute. We read in Ezra that they did build the temple. God made sure they got it done. And we read in Nehemiah, I believe it's in chapter 6, that the walls were rebuilt in 52 days, less than 2 months. They rebuilt the walls. When God's will is revealed and His people embrace His will and obey His command and go forth. When they arise and build, God will see to it. In spite of all the opposition, in spite of all the hindrances, God will get His work done. The opposition does not really know who they're up against. They look at things politically, not spiritually. God never fails. His will is sovereign and it overrules everybody else's will. He gets the job done. It may take a little longer. We see in Ezra that the opposition sent letters to the king in Persia, slanderous letters, which influenced the leadership there to cease building for a period of time. But it got going again, and they built the temple. We see that happening here in Nehemiah. The opposition, they're writing letters back to Persia. You see, if you allow these guys to rebuild, you know what they're going to do? They're going to rebel on you. Because that's what the Jews do. Now, you've got to stop them from building. You've got to stop them from building that community of faith. We don't want them doing any of that. And neither do you. You need to intervene. But were they successful? Absolutely not. Why? Because they didn't know who they were running up against. They ran up against God, and nobody frustrates God's will. He who He began a good work will complete it. Why? Because that's the way he brings glory to himself, and that's the way he builds up his body and saves sinners and gives them the abundant life. God is sovereign, God is loving, God is faithful to his covenant. God is at work. And I have the great privilege today to say on the 11th hour, school starts on Tuesday. We didn't have an occupancy permit to use 260. You talk about the praying that went on this past week. But on Friday, township gave us the occupancy permit. School starts on time. And you should see those classrooms. Incredible. You will see them or have the opportunity on the 1st of October. That's the weekend we're going to dedicate that facility to the Lord. We're going to do it on a Saturday with the schools, and we're going to do it on a Sunday. Take the opportunity to see what you invested in. Take the opportunity to see what God has done. He completed that work. In spite of all kind of frustrations, in spite of all type of hindrances, the work was done. And we got 235 kids coming to school on Tuesday to learn about the triune God, to learn about the Bible, to be equipped with the gospel of Jesus Christ as the next generation that's going to go out and change this nation, making disciples for the Lord. That's what it's all about. It's not about bricks and sticks. They're just facilities to facilitate making disciples, to facilitate making worshipers of Jesus Christ. And all of us have been involved in that. But we're not going to stop there. You see all the houses going up around here? Where are those people going to church? Where will their kids go to school? God put a smack dab in the center of all this growth. Why? Because he wants us to go and get those souls. He wants us to go train that next generation. Daniels and Esthers who will stand in the halls of Congress, who will stand in the classrooms and in the universities and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our mission. That's what we're building. That's what we're investing in. It's time for us to build. It's time for all of us to get on board and work together to build up the body of Christ. And that includes physical buildings. It's time for us to put aside the special interest. Well, what's the academy getting out of this? What's the church getting out of this? What's the preschool getting out of this? We work together as the body of Christ, using our gifts, using our specific callings, united for one purpose, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and to make disciples for Him. Is there any question about the vision for our future, for what our mission is, for where we're going? Wait a minute. It's very clear. God wants us to build His kingdom. Simple. We'll be talking about that more in the days ahead. But it's clear. Based on what we see going around us, based on what we see God doing, it is time to unite as one entity and proclaim the gospel, build His kingdom. Are you with me? I need to sit down because the enthusiasm just knocked me over. Thank you. And it's not with me. This is what God's will is for us. Are you willing to fulfill what He has put forth in His Scriptures about building His kingdom? Are you willing to do that? It's time. It's time. How do we get everybody on board? And this leads perfectly into communion. God's Word says in Philippians, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind. Having the same love. Being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in the human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, Christ has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Do I hear an amen? How do we all get on board? How do we focus on building God's kingdom? We focus on Jesus Christ. When our focus is on Him and not on our special interests, when our focus is on God and not on ourselves, when we humble ourselves and obey Him, what's He going to do? God will exalt. God will build. God will honor that. And God will work in and through us to successfully glorify Him as we work together in one mind. We have to be united. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were united in their plan of redemption. It wasn't God the Father saying, well, we got to do this. And Jesus saying, no, I got a different plan. And the Holy Spirit says, wait a minute. I'm the one that has to get this job done. Here's what I'm weighing in on. No. They were united. And that's why we're saved. We need to be united. And that's the way we build for the Lord. And it may not be everything we want. We may have our own agendas. After all, there were leaders of the Tekoites that did not build. They had their own agenda. They weren't going to build. There may be people that really aren't in favor. They have a different way, a better way in their eyes. It's okay to disagree. It's okay to have your own thoughts. But it's not okay not to do what God commands. It's not okay to say, I'm not going to be part of this. In Gethsemane, Jesus sweat blood. Father, if this cup can pass from me, if there's another way of accomplishing redemption, then Lord, let it be. But thy will, not my will, be done. And he wrestled with this, and it got to the point where he humbled himself and he received the grace that he needed to be able to fulfill the task. And that's how God will work with us. Do you want to build? Examine yourselves. Is there anything that's keeping you back from wanting to wholeheartedly support building for the Lord? Use this time as we come to the communion table. Reflect on Jesus Christ and what He did and what He said in order for the Father's will to be done, for the kingdom of God to be built. At this time, Pastor Ben will lead us in a prayer of examination as we prepare for the Lord's table.